My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week. 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time. 3 p.m. West Coast time. Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. It ain't no different second when the king goes sick. Put it down and a check, fuck around and get wet.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, we're in a very important month, this month really sets the tone for the whole year for those people of color. And I was just, as I thought about this month and how we were going to go about dealing with the importance of it, I just knew that we had to create some behaviors that we adhere to this month to show how important it is. And so the first 14 days of this month, we're going to enjoy talking about love and relationships. And the second 14 days, we're going to talk about those people who inspire us to greatness, those people who are heroes. And why should we be inspired to greatness in order to show them our appreciation? So we're going to take a short break and wait for everybody to get on the line so we can just talk about how we're going to make February one of the most important months of the year in order to get ourselves right and to enjoy the rest of the year. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Beautiful, making love with you. James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I want to just talk about love. You know, I've written two books. The first one was Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And I have this talent to turn my deepest feelings into words. And I truly believe that love is the greatest treasure and blessing that our Creator has given us. And despite the fact that there are times when love truly hurts, it's also an emotion that gets us through and over some of the greatest obstacles that are in our life. You know, because we love people, we're able to overcome some amazing things, and we need to learn to respect and appreciate what love brings to the table and not be so afraid of it. We need to recognize that love gives us the ability to climb mountains, gives us the ability to dive to the deepest depths of our being, and allows us to just do some masterful, incredible things. And it needs to be appreciated and not abused. And sometimes when we bring our human traits into our love, that's when we create some destructive moments. And we need to recognize those things. So I truly want to use the first 14 days before Valentine's Day to talk about our love for family, our love for friends, our love for our country, and our love for just pure being, and discuss some of our hardships and some of the things that we've overcome in regard to love. But tonight I just wanted to talk about the importance and the value of what love brings to the table. You know, we can be happy and we can exist, but I think we're at our best when we truly have someone in our lives that we love and appreciate, be they family, or be they a friend, or be there someone who's your soulmate. It just, there's a need to have someone that will encourage you to go beyond just the norm. And I want to invite, I have everybody here, a number of everybody here today, and it's just wonderful to have you guys call in and get prepared for this 14-day experience. We spend a lot of time talking about love and talking about what it is to us. I have to tell you guys a story before we get too far started. None of my life has been traditional. And what I mean that I just have not had the traditional family. I've had not had the traditional romance in my life. I have not, nothing in my life has been truly traditional. And one of the tragedies of my existence was that I lost both of my parents in separate situations within 2 weeks of each other. And I truly loved my mother and truly loved my father. And I lost both of them in different circumstances. They weren't married, but within 2 weeks of each other. And I saw my whole world fall apart. And had it not been for the fact that I did not have a traditional family of my own, I'm not sure what would have happened to me during that turbulent time. What I do know is I had a daughter who was in her 20s, and she became a major part of my existence because I loved her so much that I know I needed to go through this tragedy without a scratch. So it was my love for my daughter and my need to be her father that helped me to get through that tragic time. So it has made me understand and appreciate love, because had I not had a love for my daughter, I may have thought to take the coward's way out. And so I appreciate her so much for giving me the strength and the need to carry on beyond the death of my parents, and I was an only child. So it really impacted me in a very difficult way. And so I've come to appreciate and understand the value of love and what its importance brings to the table. How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, Mr. Despay.
Well, Kathy, let me tell you, you got 14 days of nothing
to
love.
Wow.
And I hope you appreciate this.
You don't know how excited I am. I've been rejoicing since I first got that email from you. I've been running up and down these aisles where I work telling everybody that the next 14 days, they going to be talking about love.
Yep. You got 14 straight days, and it's going to be killing me. But we're going to get through it, and we're going to learn something from it, and it's going to take us a long way throughout the year. It won't be the last 14 days, but it's going to be 14 straight days. Now, you heard what I said initially. What are your thoughts about the value of love that propels us further than we might go normally?
Well, you know, I was thinking about what you were saying about traditional and the definition of traditional. What is the definition of traditional? Who's to say the definition of traditional is this way, that way, or that way? What I do know and what I can say is that God placed each one of us in a particular family, and that's where he wanted us to be. You know, whether it was with two parents, whether it was with siblings and no parents. I mean, you know, we all have a story to tell about our upbringing and how we may have thought we missed something. We may have thought we had too much of something, but everybody's story is different. But in the end, it's about love, like you said, about you had your daughter there to hold on to during those times. So, I mean, I can say I didn't have my dad there, but I had my mom and my siblings. But still, the ultimate love is the love that Jesus Christ gave for us. So through that, we can love one another. I mean, you know, people make it so hard to love, but love is kind. Love is joy. Love is peace. That's what love truly is, and why people don't gravitate to that. I don't know. I don't know if people are afraid to gravitate to love, because love opens doors for you. Love takes you into places you never think that you could go. So love, to me, is the most beautiful thing that there could ever be.
I agree.
Audrey, you've been missing you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. I've had a couple of doctor's appointments, but I'm doing much better. Thank you so much.
All right. What are your thoughts about here we are in February, and this is Love Month, and the value and importance of love, and how love is able to get you to do tremendous things and get over obstacles that may normally keep you back? What are your thoughts about love and its value?
Well, I think love is the most important thing, you know, that the Lord put here on this earth, that we should love one another. But me personally, when I found out what love really was, I had to go to Corinthians and find out what it was not. It's not jealousy. It's not envy. It's not hate. You know, and once you find out what it's not and you fall in love with yourself, it's easier to love. Because you can't love anyone if you don't love you, because you don't know how.
And that's what is important. Is you have to know how to love yourself before you can truly know how to love others. That is so true.
And, you know, I come from a family down south in Mississippi. Now, I don't know if your family was like this, but my family was like this. I know my parents loved me, but they had a different way of showing love. Like I tell my kids every day, I love them. I can't even remember if or when my parents actually said the words, I love you, but they performed that act that I know that they loved me. And I don't know if it's true, like I say, in your family or whatever, but even people surrounding me, my relatives, et cetera, I didn't hear the older adults just come out and say, I love you. But they did the things, to, again, like I say, to show you that they loved you.
If you're charging hundreds of dollars for love is an action word. It truly is. Dee, what are your thoughts about where love, the kind of hurdles love can get you over?
Well, first of all, I want to say good evening, ladies. It's nice to hear y'all on the airways. It's a great topic, and I think the last thing that you just said is what it would be a definition for me, that love is action. From a man's point of view, men have a tendency to react or not to react differently to the concept of love. I have observed that women are more natural when it comes to love. They are love. They are the mothers of the earth, so it's natural for them to love. Men, on the other hand, have a tendency to have to learn how to love. Now, I want to get back to that in just a moment, but I want to agree with what Audrey just said about people in the South. They find difficulty in saying, "I love you." When I moved where I am here in Southwest Georgia from Atlanta, I came from a family that we used to tell each other that we love you. It was no real problem. When I moved to Southwest Georgia and saying that, they would look at me like I was somewhat strange. In fact, I brought my mother-in-law some flowers. She had Thanksgiving dinner for us one year. And as a compliment to her hard work and to show appreciation, I brought a table setting for the table. Her husband got mad at me. And so it has a lot to do with men. It's a tough thing. But I consider love, from a man's point of view, to be an art form. It's something that you have to learn to do, but most importantly, like Kathy said, you have to learn to love yourself first. And loving yourself and learning to love yourself, then it comes natural to exhibit and to tell someone else that you love them. But I'm glad you brought this subject in February. Kathy is going to be killing you softly with this subject. But, from my standpoint, I'm going to take it day by day, because there's a lot of bricks to be laid when it comes down to the foundation of love. So I'm just laying the foundation and saying that love is an art form. Thank you.
I just want to say one thing before we go further. One should not confuse the difference between love and lust.
Very true.
And it's oftentimes confused.
Especially with men, yes, it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure we're gonna get into that aspect, because that's a very important aspect for us to explore. But I wanted to get into the aspect of our personal feelings. I know that you are so right, Audrey. I don't recall my mother or father telling me they love me. I don't ever recall my dad kissing or hugging me, but I do recall him coming to every football game and coming to my basketball game and just responding to my needs. Sometimes you had to tell him what you needed, though. He wasn't able to sense your needs without you expressing it to him. But once you told him what it was you needed, he then would address it. On the other hand, my mother was my disciplinarian. My father only beat me once, and I had a real true fear of my father, but I knew he loved me. It was a little harder to know that my mom loved me. I know she loved me, but sometimes I used to think she beat me for exercise. And
wow.
I don't know if it was because I got into things all the time, but boy, that lady used to, you know, she was a teacher and she was a disciplinarian, and she was the one that helped me, took me to church and let me understand, got my spiritual side. But she believed in that scripture that says, "Don't spare the rod or you'll spoil the child." I don't think I was a spoiled child because she ain't spare no rod. Regina, what is your thoughts about love and how love helps you to overcome obstacles?
Hi. I'm not quite sure how it helps you to overcome obstacles. I guess I just really don't know. I know that the first type of love is self-love, or actually the first type of love that you see when you're born is your mother, you know, your parents. And then as your religious values are formed, then you learn about your godly love. But at some point, you've got to learn and understand that self-love is very, very important, or these other loves will not grow. And right now, that's pretty much what I'm working on, is that self-love.
And how do we determine what self-love is? How do you know when you're displaying self-love?
I think I know when I'm displaying self-love when I put myself before others, or when I attend to my own personal needs over the needs of other people. So, you know, and even in relationships, that other person may have a need, but I can't fulfill that person's need unless I really have an understanding of what loving myself means and giving up myself. And I mean, I guess I just don't really understand. I'm pretty much in a selfish mode right now, so I guess I don't know how to display love to others. I'm just in a I'm going to take care of me mode sort of right now.
I see. Well, let me take a short break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Thank you.
your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Joyce, let me go to you. What do you think true self-love is, and how do you know when you are displaying self-love?
Hi, everybody. First of all, I would like to say that I agree with some of the other ones, in particular what Kathy had indicated about Scripture and what Scripture say about loving. And I also believe that self-love is also having confidence. It's being comfortable, to me, in your skin. And then it's also giving without expecting, you know, it's giving of yourself. And I, too, like Audrey, came from Mississippi, where love can be, it doesn't have to be vocal. It can be expressive and action. Coming from Mississippi, they didn't tell you that they love you, but they could show you. So to me, that's love, too, is showing in action. As I've grown older, I do know that when I talk to my mom, who's 98, coming up on Thursday, I tell her I love you, and she would always say, "Now I love you back." And that's teaching. You know, you still can teach as you age, and that's one thing that all my sons, they do naturally. Mm-hmm. I always tell my husband I love. So now it's freely, and I think that growing up and possibly maybe not just the South, it's just the way that we never could express ourselves. But in changing generations, you tend to do that. And when you do it, you say it from your heart, you're meaning it. So more not just expressing it, you're vocal with it. So to me, love can be vocal and it can be action.
Now, let me say to you guys, you know, there are times when I don't think I love myself the way I should. And I don't think that self-love is, I think self-love can be put in small components. Overall, I think I love myself to death. But then you have to question how you treat yourself, whether or not you truly love yourself as much as you should. Like, for instance, I should love myself enough to get out of this bed and go work out every morning. I should love myself enough to change my diet and stay away from foods that I know are not in my best interest. But there's sometimes when we indulge ourselves in things, that doesn't mean we don't love ourselves, but we're just not doing what's best for ourselves sometimes. And so there's a lot of things that I need to work on that are in my best interest that would display a greater love for self. Dee, what do you think about that when you sometimes
love.
Don't do what you should do for yourself?
Motivational love. You got to motivate yourself to love yourself as much.
Yeah, in specific ways. Because I love myself when I'm eating that Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it ain't really good for me.
But then you got to motivate yourself to work that Southern Fried Chicken off.
When I'm eating that macaroni and cheese and potato salad and them baked beans, you can't tell me I don't love myself because I'm indulging myself.
I heard your question, James. And that macaroni and cheese and that potato salad that you're talking about, you love that. You're in love with that macaroni and cheese. But look, the type of love that you're speaking about right there, about trying to find ways to love yourself, love out myself more and better, that's a learned behavior. It's a behavior that's going to take daily practice. You know,
it's kind of like called discipline.
It is a discipline. That's right. That's a discipline that you want to implement in your life. Now, when you
Hello, sir. I don't mean to interrupt you, but someone has done a device, and you're going in and out. Is the TV or a radio?
Yeah, if you have a, I can hear it, and I don't know who it's coming from. All right, go ahead, D. Are you there, D? Well, Andre, go ahead. You had a few things you wanted to share about discipline.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you, D. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, it's a learned behavior, and I just want to say that if you look at my history, there was a need for me to be able to love myself before I was able to go forward in life and to make something out of my life. So I pretty much know the subject matter that you're talking about. And for me, I've heard a couple of others touch on this base, but one thing I didn't hear is being able to forgive oneself. That's the component that's missing. You have to be able to forgive yourself for any imperfections or any frailties that we may think we have. Once we're able to forgive ourselves, just like forgiving anybody else, before you be able to love somebody, you have to overlook their imperfections and any shortcomings that they may have. That's why the term to love someone unconditionally. So the unconditional love is the real love. So when I got to a point where I was able to forgive myself for abusing myself with drugs, to forgive myself for breaking in my mom's house, you feel me? When I got to a point where I was able to forgive myself for doing the things that I know that wasn't me, that it was the impurities that I was putting in my body that was making me act this way. When I got to the point that I was able to realize that and face that demon, if you will, in the face, and I said, no longer, sir, we cut ties here. I'm going my way, you go your way. And when I go my way, I'm starting over from scratch. Then I was able to forgive myself, and then I found great love within myself. But I want to say that it's an everyday practice, the discipline. You know, the negative thinking will always be at hand. So we have to learn how to shut the door on the negative thinking. When I was in rehab, I was in a comprehensive rehab center. And what that means is you actually understand what it is to make you tick. You understand all the intricacies of the lifestyle with and without drugs. So when I was able to understand that, when the negative thoughts come to mind, you shut the door on it and say, look, you're not paying me to stay here in my head. So you've been evicted. And that gave me more room for positive thoughts to enter my life. And with that being the practice all the time, then love is natural for me. And so I tell my kids I love them every day. I hug them, I spank them, and I discipline them. But at the end of the night, they're going to get a hug from daddy to know that, you know, what I'm doing here, the reason I do that, because I'm saving your life. So when you become of age and you get out in the world, you know how to conduct yourself. So, yes, love is a discipline. It's a lifestyle, and it's an art form. So that's where we are. These are the fundamentals. That's why it's day one of your show in the aspect of love. Thank you.
Audrey, well, you were going to make a few statements.
Well, I just wanted to remind people that there are actually three different types of love, of which we all know. But I think the one that we all strive for is the agape love, the one that's unconditional, where you can forgive, you can forget, you can just love. And love is a beautiful thing. Now, I think everyone has alluded to this. There is no greater love, you know, than when you can fall in love with yourself. When you fall in love with yourself and you love you, you see things around you a lot different. You really do. And that has been my experience. Because for so long, I guess I really didn't love me. I guess I really didn't love myself. It was kind of like, you got to behave this way for this person to love you because you want to be with that person. And you, oftentimes what women do or what people do is lose themselves within another person. And that's a bad feeling. And that is a horrible place to be. You know, you know, just don't think you have to behave some way for someone to love you, because then it's a situation. I don't believe that it's love at that point. It becomes lust. Because real love will show itself. Real love will do things that you don't expect it to do. Real love is full of surprises. Real love, it smiles and going to bed not angry with one another. And if we can get to that point and have agape love for everyone, I think that's a beautiful place to be.
Wouldn't you also say that when you love yourself, it gives you an additional type of confidence that radiates from you that other people can gravitate to that would not normally gravitate to you if it wasn't for the fact that you love yourself so much?
I agree, because that kind of love gives you a type of freedom.
And I think I think that the confidence, you know, a few days ago we talked about Venus and Serena and how they have come to love themselves so much that it radiates through them, and they are able to do things that you wouldn't have thought they would have been able to do when they first came on the scene, because now they truly believe they're beautiful and their thoughts are self-confidence is radiating through them and others are seeing it. Kathy, what is your thoughts about how loving yourself and coming to grips with your, what may be, you know, maybe you're not your greatest aspects or assets, but loving yourself through those aspects that might not be as good as you might want them to be.
Well, what I did while everyone was talking, I looked up the word love in the dictionary just to get another perspective of it and see what it was saying. And it says, a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person. That's one. Another one said, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or friend. And then the third one says sexual, passionate, or desire. The fourth one said a person toward whom love is felt, beloved person, sweetheart. So it gave all different types of love, you know, a love for a friend, a love for a child, love for the opposite sex. And then I was thinking about what you said about how you love when you're eating your chicken and your macaroni and cheese. So I thought about it. I said, okay, so I know that when I'm eating my food, I'm in love with it too, you know. I'm in love with the taste of it. I'm in love how it's making me feel while I'm eating it. But afterwards, I feel bad because I'm like, okay, Kathy, you ate this and you didn't do this, you haven't drunk any water. So at that point, I'm kind of disappointed in myself. So at that time, I'm disconnecting from the love that I have for myself. So then I started thinking about what Dee said, which is that we have to talk about this love thing and good thing that we have these 14 days so we can dissect this love thing, because it is. I remember when I first got married, I was lust love, you know, I was lusting, I was lusting, but I loved my husband. But now I can say I love him. I am in love with him. It's not about which is that feel good, but I'm just saying I can say I am in love. I have grown to love his different personality, the way he acts, for which is another different love. Then the other lady, I think it's Audrey, talked about the agape love, the love we have for the Lord, which is first, because that's that agape love that gives you the peace, the love that gives you the joy, the love that when you think about it, you just become emotional and just overwhelmed, you know, with this thing, which is the love of the Lord, which is what we give out to other people. So what I think we have to find that spot to where even though we're doing all these different things, we still have to have that first love, which is for ourselves, to love ourselves, because in order for us to be able to love others, in order for us to love our children, our friends, the people we come in contact with, we have to love ourselves. So if we're in a place where we're not loving ourselves, then we're not able to give that love, which is what it's all about anyway.
So true, so true. Regina, I want to come back to you because I have a disagreement with you. You said you didn't understand love and how it became, you overcame obstacles. But, you know, you've been a part of my audience for a long time, and we've shared a number of things. But I wanted to bring to your attention that it was your love for your daughter that allowed you to seek out the help that she needed to overcome some obstacles. So your love for family or your love for her helped you to overcome some things or make sure that you were going to overcome some things that would make life easier for her. And you've spoken of those things a number of times. I know that my mother knew that I had some issues with reading, and she took me to Rollins College to help me when I was early on, when I was in grade school. And so parents who truly love their children help them to overcome obstacles that they know in the long run might create problems. Does that change your thought a little bit since I planted that seed about your love for your daughter?
No, James, it just what that does is validates what I said, because oftentimes we as parents can love our children so much that we become enablers of them and for the way that they do things, and we put ourselves into the their lives such that we forget about our own lives. And as I said, you've got to love yourself enough to first of all, know that, you know, you do have the qualities, that self-confidence to do whatever it takes to help. But you've also got to love yourself enough to know when it's time to pull away and when it's time to take care of you, because you've always been the nurturer. And you've nurtured so till you've given all. Find out you don't have any energy to cause yourself to grow to where you should be. So that just validated exactly what I said.
Okay, all right. Joyce, let me come back to you and about how do we cultivate, stimulate, and strengthen our self-love?
By practicing it day to day, just being giving, receiving, being who you are, comfortable, like we said, the confidence, confident in who you are as a person and how you relate to others, all those things. I would like to expound on what Regina just said. And Regina, that is so true. It's because, you know, I feel myself in that position. I think we all do as mothers. We're so busy giving of ourselves to our kids, and sometimes we forget about giving our loving self to us. Once our kids grow up, as my kids did, and now they out on their own, you know, then there's an emptiness there of love. You know, you have your spouse, but we both gave up so much. You see what I'm saying? Now we're in the process of loving and rediscovering each other. But I think that's in nurturing, and that's a part of love, too, is how you give that nurturing out. But you hit on something that is so something, and you made me come to realize that what you just said, I lived that situation too. I know I went off the subject about that, James, what you said, but I just wanted to comment on that.
But you know, to expound on both Regina and Joyce with the nurturing, they're still your children. And you will in some way find that you're going to continue to do the same thing, but maybe in a different way. You know, they have to get to a point where they can take care of themselves. I understand that, but at the same token, if they're at that point and something happens, you're still going to be there to nurture them or to do whatever it is that needs to be done because they're your kids. I don't care if they're 19, 25, or 45. If there is a need,
Right, but what we were talking about is an overkill, if you know what I mean by that, like an overkill. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were saying, Regina?
Yes. What I'm talking about is nurturing to the point where, and you can do this with children, you can do this with adults. You can nurture and love to the point where you are actually taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And you have to know when to allow, to love them enough to allow the natural consequences to occur so that they can truly grow into what God would have them to be. And that takes a deep, deep, special type of love in order to let them actually bump their heads. And then after they've had those natural consequences, then you can soothe the wound, but they've got to feel it.
I think your brother talked about tough love.
Well, I think it would be tough love if you do it at a younger age. But after you've realized you've got to love yourself enough to take care of yourself, then, you know, I guess it could still be considered tough love. But I guess it could be. It could be tough love, but you got to love yourself.
That's what you're describing.
You got to love yourself enough to understand that if you don't exhibit that tough love, you will not survive. So you've got to love yourself and say, "I've got to take care of me."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when you exhibit that tough love, in a sense, you're taking a risk. Because you don't know how they're going to receive it, whether they'll receive it and walk away and not want to be a part of you, or whether they receive it and you walk through it together.
Exactly. See, they could receive it and forget about everything that you've done for them in the past, and just that immediate thing that happens would cause them there to be a rift between you and that person, because they've forgotten about all the love you've shown in the past.
Exactly.
So, yes, you are right about that. But you've got to love yourself enough to say, "I'm going to put on this mask." When you're on the airplane, you got to put on that mask first. They tell you, put on your oxygen first before you even try to save your child, because you can't save your child if you haven't saved yourself. That's self-love.
I think at that point, when we do that and we go out there and take that risk, I think that's when grace and mercy and love and all of that take front stage.
Okay.
That's just my
Well, one of the things is, though, you have to, sometimes our children are blind to the direction they're headed in, and they can't see the forest for the trees, and because you see it, you know that you have to do something to help them avoid their behaviors, their actions, and the direction they're headed or their journey. And a lot of times we have to do things in spite of the behaviors that they're displaying. I've never had to deal with any major disrespect from my daughter or deal with any drugs, but she's very headstrong. And what I used to say to her is, if you need my money comes with strings. Now, if you want to go do whatever it is you want to go do, it's best that you don't use my money.
Oh, my.
Because if you use my money, then I get to help you make decisions. So
wow.
Well, James,
and
I would say that
was tough love.
But I believe too that that's when they're young. That's when they are young, and you have those options. But once you've given and given and given and given and given, and they get to an age where they are older, then you've got to practice self-love in order to, after they've gone through those consequences, be able to be there to help them. But to continue to enable them, it's only a detriment to their future life.
Amen.
That might not even be love. It depends on why you're continuing to enable them. Are you doing it because you don't want the folk in the street to see that your child is, or people that you know to see that your child is wayward, or what? At what point do you say, I love you enough to let you hit rock bottom, and I love me enough to save me? And that is love. And that's a different kind of love. That may be a whole nother program, but that's a whole different type of love. That's just not a surface love. That's not a, ooh, I love you, you're so cute, yeah, let's hold hands. No, buddy.
That's a tough love at its extremeness.
Huh?
Well, we're gonna take another break, and we'll come back and finish out the show.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Under any kind of pressure, you see, we'll just let the evening flow. You just bored to death, and you wanna get away. You
want to get away from this noisy crowd. Let's go where it's nice and quiet, where there's nobody else around. Let's sit by a cozy lit fire, and we can be each other's company. Now how does that sound to you? You see, 'cause it sounds so good. It sounds so good to me. Come on and go with me. Would you do that, baby? Come on over to my place. Would you do that, baby? Would you do that, baby?
The month of love, 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 love.
Well, it is for you, Kathy. We know that this is going to nurture your spirit more so than anyone else's. And so I'm going to make sure that I keep my commitment to 14 straight days of love. Regina, what is your final thoughts for today?
What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and I challenge you to each night of these next 14 days play historically correct, I don't know what I'm saying, love song. Luther Vandross,
okay. Well,
Marvin Gaye, not to come on, go with me to my place.
Hey, that was one of the songs back in the day. I don't know what you're talking about. That's Teddy P. You can't get no love than Teddy P.
Now, you got that right. You're right. Now, but let's play a couple other hit songs.
Okay. I'll make sure I do some of that research tomorrow and get on top of that.
All right.
George, your final thoughts for today? Still with us, Joy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had you guys on mute. I'm just looking forward to the next 14. Are we doing 14 or 17 days? 14 days? 14 days.
14 days.
14 days because of February 14th. That's my anniversary day, by the way. I'm just
looking forward
to being a part of and enjoying it and just learning more, too. You know, what people think and what we feel, what is love. Going to be nice.
Well, I tell you what, there's nothing more important than us establishing and understanding what love is and what it the benefit it can have in our lives. And so I want us to research all aspects of love, you know, the way women love, the way men love, the way we display love to our fellow human beings. There is just a, you know, 14 days truly is not enough time to really delve into all the different aspects of love. Like I told you, my mother was just, you know, I can tell you again, I think I shared, I went, when she took me, when I had to go to college, she told me, you know, you can't come back home without a degree. And so, you know, a lot of people think that was, you know, you can always come back home is what some people say. But my mom said, you can't come back home with a degree, without a degree. So now when you leave here, understand the door ain't open unless you're still trying to get your degree. And I needed that. You know, I needed that. Every time I was up there, I knew it was about business. I ain't go up there to be drinking. I ain't go up there to be partying. I went up there to get a degree. And had I listened to my mother like I should have, I would have a master's degree. Because after I got my bachelor's, she said, okay, you know, why don't we get started on your master's? I said, oh, I'm tired. I'll get it before I'm 30. Well, I'm 56, soon to be 57, and I still don't have. See, so had I paid attention to her and let her be in control of my existence, I would have had my master's as well. So we need to recognize that people who are hard on us sometimes truly love us despite ourselves, despite what we think we're in control of. Andre, are you ready to give us your final word for tonight?
Yes, I am. I think it's a very interesting topic, and I look forward to, you know, discussing it further. And I think what might be a good idea is that we get into the three different types of love, because there are three different types of love, and they require a certain type of love, which is different one from the other.
And I think you're so right. And I think we need, you know, we talked about self-love this evening, and it might be appropriate that we spend so much time on self-love because, again, as you have said, you truly can't love anybody else if you don't love yourself. And sometimes that is the catalyst to having a exciting relationship with someone else is making sure you have the love for yourself.
And I also think it's important to put a spin on love, you know, in our purpose. You know, yes, we've got to love ourselves, but our purpose here is service, to be of service to one another. And that's love within itself.
You're right. Now, I saw a few people pop in, and I always want to give people an opportunity to share their mind. I see we have caller 9138. We were talking about love this evening. Do you want to share any of your thoughts related to love and the importance of us loving, having love in our hearts? Okay, that person jumped right away when I went to them, so I guess they didn't want to share with us this evening. Dee, what is your final word? Because we lost you for a little while.
Thank you, James. I had to attend to one of the kids. But, love is a word that it shouldn't make us choke. I think that if we practice on saying it, even in the mirror, it'll come a little easier to say. But a person shouldn't shy away from saying it. I do want to say that that we got to change our thinking about we don't want our kids to grow up not knowing what love is and not having said it to them like it was not said to us. I think looking in the past, I think that's one of our detriments. And so, you know, I'm always going to go down that road looking at the past and find out where we came from and how do we get here. And I think that's one of the issues that we got to try to correct, to tell our kids that we love them. Because if our parent was too embarrassed or too shameful or too shameful to tell us, then we shouldn't have to go down that road. And
I don't think they knew how, because their parents didn't tell them.
Yeah, but that's not an excuse.
I wasn't looking for an excuse. I was merely making a point.
Yes, ma'am.
I totally agree with both of you all. My mom loved me, and she showed that she loved me by purchasing things that she did not touch. She did not know how to say, "Nina, I love you." So a lot of things, when I had my daughter, I had to break a lot of cycles, a lot of generational curses. So one thing that I always practiced was telling my daughter, "I love you," and I would give her a kiss. When my daughter was in middle school with me, and I was her sixth grade teacher, then she went on to seventh grade, she would come down to my classroom and give me a kiss, and they'd say, "You kiss your mama? You love your mama. She said, "Yeah, I told my mom I love her." And they were just so surprised. And you should have seen the look in those children's eyes and how they even wanted my love. And I ended up starting telling them, "I love you. I love you."
And see, that's a fire that you want to ignite. Yeah. I said that's a fire that you want to ignite, so that it can keep going.
Yeah,
you know,
I ended up telling my children that were not my biological, the children I educated, "I love you." They needed to know that somebody loved them and that somebody was praying for them. I would tell them, "I'm praying for you. I love you."
Amen.
And it would just get them over that hump in that neighborhood until I could see them the very next day.
You know,
I think what Dee was saying is somebody has to break the cycle. Somebody has to be willing to risk themselves by breaking the cycle and being able to display that. Because I never kissed my mom, and I never kissed my dad. And, you know, so you have to realize that there's an issue first so that you don't feel inhibited by your past.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say, Dee?
Yes, sir. Exactly what I was trying to say, that the trend of the past has to be broken in order to bring about change in a positive way.
I agree with that. I had a mother-in-law that said, "Love is what love does." I have a 43-year-old son. I don't care where I am, at church, in the mall, wherever. Wherever he sees me, he's got to walk up to me and say, "Hi, Mom," and hug me and kiss me. Any time of the day, any day. But I instilled that in him by me telling him I love him. And it just keeps going and going and going.
So somebody broke that cycle. Somebody broke that cycle in your family. I broke the cycle in my family. Somebody broke that cycle in Dee's family. And we just have to keep it going. Your son is going to continue it with his children. My daughter is going to continue it with her children. I love you. The other day, 2 days ago, I was just so warm. I was tired. And this, for the first time in my life, I went and I laid my head on my mother's lap, and I said, "Mama, do I have to still be an adult? Can I please come home?"
Wow.
I have never felt the need to just go and talk to my mother, because I knew she was there, because I was always the nurturer. But the nurturer needed nurturing at that point.
Exactly.
And she stroked my head. And she told me she loved me and it was going to be all right. That was the first time in my life that had occurred.
you know, the situation that you're describing reminds, I immediately went to the scene with Cicely Tyson and her daughter in The Diary of a Mad Black Woman when she went to the nursing home and put her head in her mom's arms.
Regina, oh, and everybody else, I wanted to say something about what Regina just said about going to her mom. And, you know, in our in life, we are givers. So I believe that everyone on here is a giver. And we pour into other people so much that sometimes we have to steal away to refill ourselves. And if we don't do that, that's when we get tired. That's when we get fed up. That's when we draw away from other people and seclude ourselves because we don't know how to refill ourselves. But if we go and refill ourselves, even if it's going, like she said, to her mom and just laying her head there and letting her rub on her, say, it's okay, I love you, that's a refilling. We need to be refilled. We as givers, as people that pour into other people all day long, all the time, need to be refilled as well. We have to be refreshed because if we don't get refreshed or refilled, we're going to dry out.
That's a beautiful statement. You always come up with something that lets us know right on point. And you're so right. We have to have somebody who pours into our vessel just in the same manner that we pour into others. That is so true.
And then, James, that's realizing, going right back to the beginning of the show, that you need self-love. You have to know, you have to put on that mask to save yourself because you have given so much of yourself. That self-love is oh so important.
All right, guys, we're at that time, and I want to thank all of you as normal. I want you to really concentrate, and if you got an idea that you want to share with me prior to the show, do that. You can do that by emailing me at djames82@aol.com, or you can send me a text message at 407-394-9819. But we got 14 days of nothing but love, discussion about love and its impact on our lives. So I look forward to talking to you all this next 13 days, and we're going to have the kind of impact that takes us through the rest of the year when it comes to love and being able to take the steps necessary to display and show love properly. So thank you all. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, and it is about love.